Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians right along the Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in our individual spirituality and in connected community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. For more information, visit our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Don't judge so that you won't be judged. You'll receive the same judgment you give. Whatever you deal out will be dealt out to you. Why do you see that splinter in your brother's or sister's eye, but don't notice the log in your own eye? How can you say to your brother or sister, "Let me take that splinter out of your eye," when there is a log in your eye? You deceive yourself. First, take the log out of your eye, and then you'll see clearly the splinter out of your brother. You take clearly to take the splinter out of your brother or sister's eye. The word of God for the people of God.
I'm so glad we include at the end of that little video that she says, "I'm okay." Because you see her fall and I think, oh my gosh, I'm okay. I hope you're okay today. We have been going through a number of phrases over the course of these last 5 weeks. And sometimes when it's something that's sort of ingrained in us, something that, you know, we just say sort of off the top of our head, whether it's a phrase about, you know, faith and spirituality, or it's a phrase about anything else, sometimes when someone challenges those phrases, sometimes we can wrestle with that. I walked up to someone. I was at my previous vocation when I worked in IT. I walked up to a couple of coworkers who were talking, and I said, "I don't mean to interrupt, but this thing, there was an urgent thing that I had to talk to them about." And one guy looked right up to me. He said, "Yes, you do." What? Yes, you do mean to interrupt. And it's a good thing you did. But don't say you don't mean to interrupt when you do. Oh, right? That kind of thing is what I'm talking about. And so as we've been talking about several of these phrases, like, I hope you're okay too, as we challenge some of the things that sometimes we say without thinking them through. Just as a reminder, here are some of the things that we've talked about. Everything happens for a reason. We explore that in, I think, a good and healthy way. God helps those who help themselves. God won't give you more than you can handle. And last week, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. I really and truly hope that hearing these explorations have challenged you a little bit. Because I believe that when we are challenged, when we are nudged out of our comfort zone, I think that we're more open to growth and learning in those times. And so my hope is that this hasn't been easy, but that you're okay. Are you okay? I'm okay. Today, as I said, we're looking at the final phrase in this series, love the sinner, hate the sin. And on the surface, it makes sense. Of course, we want to love the sinner. We want to love everybody. We're called to love everybody. We realize that we're all sinners. We're, as Paul writes, we all fall short of the glory of God. I believe that to be true. As I look around this room, and I love you all, I don't think for a second that any of you are perfect. And that's okay. Hate the sin. Part of our baptismal vow is to resist evil, oppression, and injustice in whatever ways it presents itself. So on the surface, this phrase seems pretty good. What's the problem? And I hope that we can explore this today. As we have throughout this series, we have a bit of exaggerated illustration from our friends Eric and Andy, who at the time that they recorded these videos, I don't know if they still are, but they were real-life roommates working in a church in the Midwest. So they're roommates in an urban Midwest city, and through some exaggeration, they help us look at these phrases in a helpful way. Let's move on to Eric and Andy.
Hey man, have you ever heard the verse, love the sinner but hate the sin?
Yep, that's a good one.
Well, I love you man, but I hate that every time you watch TV, you just flip through the channels.
Well, I love you, but I hate that you always have to be in control of what's on TV.
Well, I love you man, but I hate that every time you actually decide to watch something, it's a reality TV show. You know those things are staged half the time, right?
Well, I love you, but I hate the fact that you won't let me watch The Bachelor in peace.
Well, I love you, man, but I hate the fact that you've been sitting on the couch like a sloth while I have to move all my stuff in. It's our move-in day.
Well, all of my stuff is in the house, Eric. I mean, if you wanted to, you could hire me, and then I'll help you move your stuff.
Are you serious? Why can't you just be a good roommate and help me out? Stop being so greedy.
Because while you were sleeping until noon today, I was moving all my stuff in.
You know, man, I'm finding it really hard to love you when I'm too busy hating on your sin.
Yep. Well, maybe we should just stop after saying I love you.
Love you too, man.
All right, I'll help you move your stuff.
Yay!
That one line, I'm finding it hard to love you when I'm so busy hating all of your sin. That's what sticks out to me in that illustration. You know, many of these videos from Eric and Andy have been somewhat of an exaggeration. My observation of that last one, that was pretty real. Not a lot of exaggeration in that one. And I wonder if we have found ourselves in those circumstances. I love you, but boy, I hate the way you load the dishwasher. But we do it in other less silly ways too. I love you, but I don't like or I hate that you have a different view on politics than I do, or that you have a different view on theology or sacred text than I do, or that you ride motorcycles by church loudly. When we start with the first half of that phrase, love the sinner, when we remember Paul's writing, as I already said, that we all fall short of the glory of God, we might say, well, love the sinner, of course. And we might remember, well, that sounds a little bit like the commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. But I think it's worth noting that while Jesus absolutely said, love your neighbor as yourself, I can't find anywhere in any of the Gospels where Jesus said, love the sinner. Why might that have been? Jesus spent his time with sinners. Jesus spent his time in conversation with people who were actively known in their community to be persons who were broken, who had fallen short. But in my reading, I never found any place where Jesus said, love the sinner. Instead, he said, love your neighbor. Well, it might be helpful to explore, well, what is sin? There are a couple of ways that I often think about sin. A more literal translation of the Hebrew and Greek words. Remember, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, the New Testament written in Greek. Of the Hebrew and Greek words for sin, a pretty literal translation of those is to miss the mark. That sort of falls in line with what Paul says, to fall short of the glory of God. Another way that I find it helpful sometimes to think of sin is a turning away from God. Sometimes we do that intentionally, and sometimes we just stray from the path. One of the things that Zach and I enjoy doing together is we watch the TV series Ted Lasso. And in a somewhat recent episode, one of the players was talking about how the team had been doing for a period of time and feeling as though they had strayed from the path. He used similar language. But one of the things that he illustrated was, you know, if you just take one step off the path, it's not hard to get back. But if you take one step off and another step off and another step off and continue that trajectory, then it's really hard to find your way back to the path. Spiritual wisdom from Ted Lasso. We know this to be true in our own lives. We know this from ourselves and perhaps by observing others, especially if we have the privilege of caring for others, where sometimes we observe that person, maybe a child, maybe a relative, to take one small step off the path, miss the mark just a little bit. And, you know, a minor corrective can bring that person back in line, and that's a great thing. But when you observe that person take one step and then another step and then another step far from the path, isn't it more difficult either for ourselves to get back to the path or to guide and coach that person to come back to the path? Isn't it much more difficult? Do we see this in our own experience in our own lives? Sin, to miss the mark or to turn away from God. And Jesus is not shy about recognizing when someone has missed the mark, when they turn away from God. And in general, my observation is that Jesus' response is not one of condemnation or hatred, but of compassion. And I wonder if it's because he lives truly what he preaches, love your neighbor. Because if we look at someone only as a sinner, then we are tempted to only see that. There's one preacher who frames it this way. He says, as I find the page, that's the wrong note. He says, as a follower of Jesus, maybe we should consider this. I will love you because you're a person who needs love. And though I'm a sinner, you deserve my love because God first loved me. I will love you because Jesus said love is the way his disciples are meant to live. I will love you because I believe that love has the power to change the world. When we think about saying, I love the sinner, part of what we are saying is, I love you despite the fact that you are a sinner. And what I believe Jesus teaches us to say is not, I love you in spite of, but I love you because. Instead of saying, I love you despite the fact that you're broken, I love you because you are my neighbor in all the ways that we can understand neighbor to be. Something that might subtly and importantly shift our perspective. So that, again, reading the words of another preacher, I will love you because you're a person who needs love. And though I'm a sinner, you deserve my love because God first loved me. I will love you because Jesus said love is the way his disciples are meant to live. I will love you because I believe that love has the power to change the world. See, part of what we can fall into when we talk about loving the sinner, and I've heard this in a number of contexts, part of what we can fall into is that trap of judgment. Sometimes we're judging the person, sometimes we're judging the sin. Maybe that kind of way that you fell short Maybe I'm going to judge that a bit more harshly than another way. Think about how we are in conversation when someone cheats at Monopoly. Think of how we're in conversation when someone cheats on their spouse. Think of how we're in conversation when someone eats too much red meat or fatty foods. Think of how we're in conversation with someone who drinks too much alcohol and then gets behind the wheel of a car. I've heard it said, no sin is greater than the other. These illustrations might teach us something different. Indeed, our Catholic friends draw a distinction between venial sins and mortal sins. And yet we all fall short of the glory of God. Rather than loving someone despite the fact of what they've done, we can love people because they are our neighbor. And I'll say it one more time. I will love you because you're a person who needs love. And though I'm a sinner, you deserve my love because God first loved me. I will love you because Jesus said love is the way his disciples are meant to live. I will love you because I believe that love has the power to change the world. Now, there's a second part of this phrase that we're addressing today, hate the sin. And one of the things that we might sort of line up as support of that phrase is where Paul writes in Romans 12, love should be shown without pretending. Hate evil and hold on to what is good. Huh. Well, does that mean we should hate the sin? Except Paul's not necessarily talking about how we should look at others. Let's read the text again. This is Romans 12, 9. Love should be shown without pretending. Hate evil and hold on to what is good. What it seems like in the context of what Paul's writing is, he's telling people that your love should be genuine. It should be real. And when you feel tempted, when you feel tempted to judge, to look at someone another way, maybe that's the evil that you should be avoiding. Indeed, in the context of the letter to Rome, there's all sorts of conversation about what the church in Rome is doing and how they're being harmful. Hate the evil that is your temptation. But when you look at someone else as a sinner, when you begin to judge, you do not see your own brokenness. I've seen a video where one preacher with the same text that we use today brought in an actual log and held it above his eye. In his other hand, he had a pair of tweezers. But we can be blinded sometimes, can't we? We can be blinded in our own brokenness. And in doing so, we can judge others harshly. I want to say that there's a particular way that I hear this phrase most often in Christian circles. And I want you to know that I understand that we don't all agree about this. And I believe that we are a community of faith that can love each other regardless of our agreement. The place that I most often hear this phrase is for our gay and lesbian friends. Love the sinner, hate the sin. And this is because there are some scriptures that are read by some of our friends in one way and others of our friends in another way. But I hope we can agree that however we read those texts, we understand that our call is to love. Our call is to love all of God's creation. Regardless of the ways we divide and separate ourselves, our call is to love. Not in spite of someone's brokenness, someone's sin, how far someone has strayed from the path, but because they are our neighbor, period, full stop. And so here's how I would invite you to think of this phrase. In all the many ways we can consider it, stop at the first word. love. Amen.